great to know that through it all, He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Through it all. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Wow, wow, wow. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I'm going to ask everyone that you stand. Now it's time to get that food. Amen. Amen. Whew. Let's do two things. Let us pray. You guys pray for me, I'm gonna pray for y'all, okay? Amen. All right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Now, Father, come the hour of breaking bread, and that is your word, Heavenly Father. Amen. So as we meditate, as we learn, as we dissect your word, Heavenly Father, we ask that whatever it is that you would have of us, let us apply the word to our lives, Heavenly Father. We are nothing without you. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. For this in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah, clap it up. That's right. Now that you're still standing, I'm going to ask you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Our focus scripture, we're going to start at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 13. When we all have it, let us say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, as verse 13 reads, you guys want to read together? Okay. Let us read together, starting at 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I couldn't wear the mic today because I don't have nowhere to clip it. So we going old school. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to go back. Way back. Back in the time. So our message for today is, don't forget where you came from or what you've learned. And my subtitle is A Manual for Ministry. Now, we're starting at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, couple of weeks ago, I shared with you about Paul, how he began his second missionary ministry. Well, let's talk about Thessalonica. Thessalonica is the largest city in Macedonia. They say it's the capital of Macedonia. And they had about approximately 200,000 people there. Most of the inhabitants of Thessalonica was Gentiles. Although there were some Jews, but most of them were Gentiles. The reason that Paul wrote this letter was because this was the first church that he had established. Remember when we talked a few weeks ago, we talked about him starting in Thessalonica and him being cast out. Well, while he was in Athens, he sent Timothy to Thessalonica with a letter because he couldn't go back. He wanted to make sure that he sent word back. See, Paul didn't forget where he came from. So, Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. Now, let's recap what the Thessalonians were dealing with. The Thessalonians were dealing with the same thing that Paul was dealing with. And that is, first they were worshiping idols. They had a lot of idol worshiping going on in Thessalonica. So when Paul comes on the scene and teaches this revelatory knowledge, this good news about Jesus Christ, he had a lot of people converting. Unfortunately, a lot of the Jews who, you know, those S-starters that I talked about before, well, they were defaming Paul, casting him out, starting stuff because they did not like the new doctrine that was being taught. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, as Paul and Timothy and Silas were cast out, Paul had to go from different places, which we talked about before, where he went to Berea, and then he ended up in Athens. And when he went to Athens, he sent for Paul and Silas. I'm sorry, Timothy and Silas. And he wanted Timothy to go back and check on the Thessalonians. Now, as we read, Thessalonians chapter 1, that is the exhortation. How you guys doing? I am so encouraged by you. Ever since you have given your life to Christ, oh my gosh, you guys have been suffering. This is the letter, I'm paraphrasing, but this is the letter that Paul sent to the Thessalonians, okay? Amen. He says, I miss you guys. You guys have been through a lot. And I'm sorry I can't be with you to endure the trials and tribulation and persecutions that you're going through because now you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I can't be there with you, but I want you to know you need to hang on. You need to hold on. So this is why we say don't forget where you came from, because that's where Paul started his ministry, with the Thessalonians. Amen? Amen. So just as anything we start, you know, we should go back and revisit it and make sure that it is proceeding the way we want it to proceed. Amen? Amen. So, as us all were new converts, and we were born again, and we said, oh, we're on fire for the Lord, but again, guess what? Those old friends that you used to have, they was like, so what you doing now? Oh, you saved now? Oh, I remember when. We was hanging out to the day break of dawn, probably into the break of dawn. So what's this you got going on now? Oh, we fired up for Jesus. Well, now we're being persecuted because we are no longer what we used to be. Amen. Little do they know that we got a long way to go from where we want to be. But we have a starting point. We are at the starting point. We are no longer, we have been sanctified. We've been set apart. So, now that we are set apart, there are those persecutioners. And this is what Paul and the Thessalonians were dealing with once they converted from paganism. Once they converted from idol worshiping. Now they are in full blast, full blown, living for Christ. You know how we get when we first become converted? Yay! Everything. And many times, Pastor Relifer would sit up there and say, he gives us a story on how he was when he first got converted. Till he went to work. But that's what happens with us as individuals. Once we convert, we are going to go through persecution. We're going to go through those individuals talking about us. They, as a matter of fact, some of them say, they ain't changed. I can't wait. Yeah. They giving you time. Matter of fact, they probably got a bet going to see how long this lasts. So many people think being born again is a fad or a phase. And it's not. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Amen. This ain't something that we like, you know, like they had the clothes, crisscross clothes and the sagging jeans. And those are fads. Those are phases. Those come and go. You know, when we used to have the Jerry curl. Ooh, Lord. Right. And ladies, remember when they had the hot pants and they had the bell bottoms, and brothers, they had the knit shirts and the tweed hats and broke down velvet crush hat with the Cadillac leaning, with the gangster lean. Those are fads. Now, mind you, some of things repeats itself. Some things come back. No, but only one thing remains constant in our life, and that's Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be born again, then be born again. This is a life-changing decision that we have made, that we said, you know what? I can't do this by myself anymore. I'm going through enough stuff by myself. I want to do some. Now, mind you, it's not going to be easy. But guess what? Christ is in it. Yeah. And anything that Christ is in, it will prevail. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, now that you have converted, now that Paul has these new conversions of Thessalonians, then there are some things he wants to do. Paul has decided that he needs to encourage the new converts through their trials and tribulation. Give instruction on godly living. Urge some not to neglect daily work. Give assurance concerning the future believers who die before Christ's return. So Paul had a few things that he had to instruct the Thessalonians about. And these Thessalonians 1 and 2 are the only two letters that Paul specifically addresses the church. He specifically addresses the church that he established in Thessalonica. Amen? Amen. He specifically, the only two letters that he, that's what it says. The only two epistles where he addresses the church specifically. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, now that you are new converts, there is some responsibility that you have. So now that you are born again, we are some things that we have to change about ourselves.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, and this may, some things you're going to like and some things you're not going to like. But that is a part of our conversion. That is a part of our new way of life. Like, we cannot say anything we want to say anymore. That tongue that we have is a double-edged sword. Amen. It can speak life or it can speak death. But since we are newborn again believers, we have to speak life. Amen. Amen. You're going to have so many negative people around you till you're going to think you just want to lay out and die. Why am I doing this? And then you start questioning yourself and second guessing yourself. Yeah. You know what? I think I was having more fun when I was doing what I wanted to do. But just know, you as a born again believer, you can have as much fun as you want to. Why? Because that's why he came. He came that you would have life and you would have life more abundantly. Yeah. Right here on this earth. Now, but there's your responsibility as a Christian. I'm sorry, as a born-again believer, Pastor. Pastor Gardner reminds me so much of Paul. Why do you say that? Because Paul was on his road to Damascus. And Jesus met him where he was. And then through the word, Paul was convicted. Paul was converted.
Right.
Through the word, Pastor, is your conviction and your conversion.
Man.
And what you have established is the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Nice.
Not the ministry of feeling good, not the ministry of the predecessors that was before you, but you established the ministry of the Word of God, and that is for us to be accountable for ourselves and know that the old nature is still in us, that we have to fight every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, since Paul sent Timothy with this letter to Thessalonica, he asked Timothy, how are they doing? And Timothy was excited to tell them they are on fire for the Lord. And that's what we have to continue to be. We have to continue to be on fire for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, even reading our focus verse from 13 to 20. What Paul is saying is, brothers, remember what we went through? We went through all of this because we know that this is what God would have us to do. This is not of our own fruition. We don't want to be, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. Our manual for ministry. This was Paul's, and it is great for us to use it. The manual for ministry. Starting at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. The first thing for our ministry is we have to make sure we are continually giving the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the good news. As your ministry grows, and we're all in this ministry, and we all have our ministry, the first thing you're supposed to do is give the good news of Jesus Christ. You tell where you was, and you tell how you became where you are today through Jesus Christ. That's good news. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's the good news.
Hi, girl.
What does it say? It says, but even after that, we have suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That is good news.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though Paul, Silas, and Timothy were persecuted, they still had a charge. They still had a mission. I'm still going to give the good news. That's your ministry. First thing, give the good, God's good news, the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then, too, you want to make sure that your motive is not impurity. Make sure that it's not pleasing people. You know how it sounds good? You're trying to please somebody? That's not what your ministry is supposed to be. Your motive is not supposed to be greed. We're not doing this to get paid. This is what Paul says. Let's go to verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make sure that we have, first, the Holy Spirit is upon us, and that the word of God, is convicting our hearts. A lot of times people have itchy ears. They want to go where it sounds good at. It sounds good over there because they can, Lord, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. I have no problem with anyone hooping. What I have a problem with is a word in that hoop. You can hoop all day long, long as I'm getting the word. People try to make you feel good. Your ministry is, your motive is not to please people, it's to please God.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. It says that in verse 4. Not to please man, but God. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So if you're doing this to please man, guess what? You're not pleasing God. You're not pleasing him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then it's, your motive is not for greed. This is Paul. He said our motive wasn't for greed. Verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. Lord knows I ain't wasn't trying to come to you for no money. I wasn't trying to be greedy on you. That is not our motive. That's not your motive for ministry.
Amen?
Amen. And then your mannerism. We're not trying to trick you into nothing. Amen? We don't want to flatter you. You're not trying to cover anything up. Right. For neither at any time use we, I'm at verse 5, neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, but God witness. But, I'm sorry, God is witness. But, we are to encourage ye one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're to encourage one another. We are to be gentle with one another. Like it says in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children, even as a mother are. That's how you are to be gentle to your fellow brethren. That's our ministry. We're to be gentle. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're to use love. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted on you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You're to give the same love. This is what Paul telling the Thessalonians. That's the love that we had for you. We wasn't just giving you what God said, the word. We was giving you from our hearts. We was giving you the love that we have within us. Amen? Amen. Verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. Unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Which meant was, I'm going to work. I'm going to put the work in. I'm not just going to give you the word, but I'm going to get out here on a daily basis, and I'm going to do the grind with you. That means I'm not going to come and give you the message, and then you're going to pay me for it, and then I'm going to sit back and watch you. That's not what Paul was talking about. He's talking about we're in this together. We're doing this together. I'm working hard just like you. I'm working hard for the word, for Christ, and I'm working hard for you because I want you to know that you are deserving of everything that God has for you. And you need to see that. Why? Because what I do to you or for you, with you, through you, I want you to pass it along. Don't forget where you came from. Because somebody back there didn't get what you have now. So guess what you do? You got to go back and get them. And bring them up. Amen? This is what Paul was sharing with the Thessalonians. Don't forget where you came from. That's what he did. He could have went on to wherever else he was going, which is what he did. He went to Corinth. He went to Athens. He went other places. But he made sure the first church that he established, he made sure he went back. He went back to them because that's his first love. He went back to them to make sure that they were okay. And just like I'm going back to you, I want you to go back to them. Anyone that's in your contact, go back to them. That is not saved. That is not born again. That does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to reach back. A lot of times people think that because I'm born again and because I have arrived, you know, you going to hell. Because you don't know the Lord like I do. You going to hell. We can't be like that. We can't be hypocrites. Just because somebody else does not know him. And that's why our character, our nature, have to be inviting. We got to be inviting. Because first of all, they already done persecuted us because we have decided to be born again. We made that decision. They've already persecuted us. And a lot of times, a lot of us can say, you know what? I don't want to be bothered with you no way. No, we don't have that. We don't have that character anymore. Remember, I told you when you're born again, there's a responsibility that you have to have. And that is changing your character and nature. We no longer want to see Adam. We want to see Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. It says you have a responsibility. That's to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Amen? So that means there's a way, there's something we have to do. There's a behavior. We have to act right. Just like we expect our children to act right, to behave and publicly. I know how we got. When you're going out, don't ask for nothing. Don't want nothing, you're not getting nothing. If I have to tell you more than one time, I'm going to embarrass you where you stand. We remember those days, right? But see, that's the love because we were to behave a certain way. Well, guess what? That's what Christ wants us to do. Behave a certain way. You cannot go around putting this big old sign on your forehead big old cross hanging down here to your belly. I'm the Lord's child. Yes, we are all God's children. But all of us are not being disciples. All of us say we love the Lord and we have given and have given our lives over to Christ, but we're not being disciples.
Right.
We're not. We have to be disciples, meaning we have to be disciplined when it comes to the things of God. That is our responsibility. We have to be. You cannot go around saying that, oh, I'm this and I'm that, and you acting like you that. No, I'm this, but I'm acting like that. We cannot do that. That makes us hypocrites. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we see it everywhere we go, don't we? We see it everywhere we go. Pastor was talking about somebody. Was it in corporate class? About how this lady, she was shouted out of her slip. And when she got in the parking lot, she cussed out the, called him everything but the child of God. You can't be this.
Okay.
Say you this, and then you turn around and be that. You cannot do that. You being a hypocrite. And you know, and that's the fun thing that bothers me. Why do you want to be a hypocrite? I know I'm not all that. I know that I am not where I should be, but hallelujah, I am not what I used to be. That's the way we are to behave ourselves. Amen? Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget. Remember? Remember when? You remember. Like Betty Wright, oh yeah, now I remember. Mm-hmm. You remember when. But guess what? That's what we're supposed to do. We don't forget where we came from. Because that keeps us from not wanting to go back where we were. Amen? Amen. Paul's manual for ministry tells us that. We're to give the good news. We are not to have a motive of greed. We don't have a motive of pleasing others. We don't have a motive of pleasing people. We don't want a motive of seeking to please everybody. Because if you're trying to please everybody, guess what? You're not going to please God. Amen? And our manner is not to be of trickery. It's not to be flattery. We're not trying to cover up things. You know, some people will sit up there and say, I ain't never, ever, ever, ever lied about how I feel. I'm going to always tell the truth about how I feel. Now you lying. That is not truthful right there. Because I know good and doggone well you wanted to tell somebody at some certain time who either stepped on your toes, stepped on your feelings, or touch somebody in your family that you just wasn't having it. So you can't sit up here and don't say that you did never ever did something. Or I'll never ever do that. Now you're still lying. Because you never know what's going to happen. You still have to behave yourself as Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's our new nature. And then our manner is to be gentle. To have love, holiness. Not that we are perfect, but holy. That means we're set apart. That means we have a responsibility.
Yeah.
That we're supposed to act. That we're supposed to behave. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's not forget where we came from. Do you guys remember the story of Jesus Christ? That's the good news. Remember, he was born. Remember, he walked the earth for 33 and a half years. Remember, he told them, his disciples, who was not always disciplined, but he gave them instruction correction, and reproof.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And he told them that I'm giving my life for you. I'm giving myself for you. He paid the one-time atonement, the one-time sacrifice. It does not have to be paid anymore. You do not have to worship another idol. Not one. We're talking about material. Sometimes we worship our children. We worship our grandchildren. We worship our jobs. We worship our house. We worship our cars. If we put as much time that we're growing in all of this idolatry, if we put that much time in Jesus Christ, trust me, everything else will be just that much greater.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Just that much greater. So you think you got a house, if you praising the Lord, now I don't want nobody to go back and say, I'm a praise the Lord and Pastor Martina, I haven't got my second house yet. How do you know you haven't got your second house yet? Let me tell you why you know you don't know you ain't got your second house. Because that first house is the one that we live in. Amen?
Amen.
First house is the one that we live in. But if we praising the Lord and worshiping that much greater, guess what? That new house that you have is going to be even fantastic. What Donald Trump said, it's going to be even more bigger, more greater, better. You're going to love it. Why? Because the house that you have now is this one.
Amen.
This is my house right here. I take it with me everywhere I go. This is my house. And by me worshiping and praising the Lord, of course it's going to be great. It's that much better than the one I sleep in. That's the house that I'm talking about. The car that you're driving. You praise the Lord so much more. You know what? I don't care what kind of transportation you have. You go drive around like you got a Bentley. Am I right, Sister Danielle? Why? Because the Lord has blessed you with transportation that you did not have. Amen? Amen. That job that you had, and you thought, and you just, oh Lord, he done blessed me with this job. Woo, Jesus. But when you go in there and you have the Spirit of the Lord on you, and you are praising and worshiping him in everything, that job you have is so much greater, you're going to want to get up early and go to it. You get up early in the morning looking forward to it. I got a song on my breath every time I get up and go to my job. Because I'm glad. You know why? Because I'm thankful that I got a job.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We can sit up and be crying about everything that we don't have, everything that we should have, everything that we used to have. We can sit up here and talk about that all day long, but for what? We don't have it no more. Apparently, we don't need it no more. Amen? Because everything that we have rests in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, seek him first. Seek him first. And the kingdom of his righteousness. Everything else shall be added to you. Amen? Amen. What God has for you, nobody can take it away. And you know what he has for you? He has love. He got joy. He got love and kindness, tenderness. He has the fruits of the Spirit for you. Amen?
Yeah.
All of that he has for you is for you. But guess what? It's not for yours to keep.
Amen.
You can't keep it. That's how your blessings come in and continue to come in and continue to come in and continue to come in. Why? Because what the Lord has blessed me with, I need to bless somebody else with it. What God has for you is for you. But guess what? You have a responsibility of what he has given you. And I'm not talking about the material things. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about compassion. I'm talking about patience. I'm talking about temperance. I'm talking about all of these things. You have to give it away. Give it. Don't keep it for yourself. Because what you give, the Lord is going to continue to pile on you. He's going to continually give you what you need. And some of what you want. According to the desires of your heart and his will. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus Christ knew his mission. He knew that he was coming. He knew he had to come. They talked about it back in Genesis. He knew he had to come to save us for what Adam had done to our heritage. We was lost. Our heritage was lost. So Jesus Christ said, I'll go, send me. That's the kind of attitude and nature that we need to have. I'll go, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll go to my prayer closet and pray. I'll go to the hospital. I'll go to the book and start meditating. Lord, send me, I'll go. This is the first place we need to go. We need to go to the Word. This is the very first place we need to go to learn what our instructions are to be for living the life of Christ. Amen? Amen. And because he knew he had to come and he knew he had to die, he knew that he was already majesty. He knew already that he was the glory. And that's what they were talking about. And I'm sorry I closed my book, but that's where we were in our reference scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. That's preparing yourself for Christ coming. Preparing yourself. Get ready. People, the Jews, and there were some Gentiles that did not want them to spread the good news. And they suffered for that. But guess what? That's where your hope and glory comes from. Knowing that what I'm doing for Christ lasts and that he will come back. Yes. His second coming, they call it the parousia. Parousia. It comes from a Greek word and it means the arrival of kings and majesty, high authority. But when we're talking about parousia here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 19, we're talking about the coming of Christ. That's what we look forward to. But in the meantime, and in between time, let's live how we are supposed to live. The manual for ministry, that is what we're supposed to use. And don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. Because there's somebody back there that we need to bring up. And it may not come at the time that you think it's supposed to come. It's supposed to be right here. They're supposed to come right now with me. No. Mm-mm. Not their time. You got to be prepared. You got to get ready. I tell you, get ready. You got to get ready. You got to get ready through this word. That's the only way you're going to be able to bring somebody back. You got to live according to the word. Amen. You can't bring nobody with you if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. A lot of times our parents told us, our grandparents said, don't do as I do as I say. Well, we can't use that as born again believers. We cannot tell somebody else who does not know Christ, don't do as I do as I say. We can't do that. What does that make us? That makes us hypocrites. No. We can't say do as I say. We got to say, do as I do. So you got to do it. You got to do it. I got to do it. We all got to do it because this is our ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus Christ sits on the throne in all his majesty because he says, not only did he do what he said, he expects you to do as he did.
All right now.
Give your life. Die daily.
Yeah.
Die from Adam daily.
Yeah.
And live in Christ daily.
Yeah.
And it's hard. But when you get up with a focus and a purpose every morning that you're going to encourage somebody, you take it off of you and put it on him. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's people out there that you don't even know that needs Christ. And the only way he's going to get, that they're going to get to Christ is through you. You're the gateway. So be used. Amen? Amen. Everyone stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. When you sit back, I can't forget where I came from. When you think about you not supposed to be here, I can't forget where I came from. That's why I got a song in my heart every day. Because I know how much my Lord and Savior loves me. I know this. But sometimes people think that they have to have somebody horizontally in their life for them to know that they're loved. But I'm here to tell you, our God is a jealous God. He's very jealous. So if you want to put somebody in your life horizontally before you put him in your life vertically, it's not going to work. It's not. So seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Matthew 6:33. Seek him. Seek him. In the midst of your trouble, Psalms 23. Hide in him. Know this. Know this. Know this. He wants to know that you can love him unconditionally without any reservations. And everything that you're going through, everything that you're going through, know that you trust and believe in him that everything is going to be fine. That's our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And guess what? Without it, you can't please him. He is not going to give you any more than what you have until you start showing him how much you love him with what he has given you. And I'm not talking about material things, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about what he has given us in our heart. You lose what you don't use. Use it. Use it. Use it. Use it. Amen.
Amen.
Everyone take someone by the hand. Brother Keys, pray for
us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you right now, Lord God, that you did not forget us. Lord God, you came back for us. You sent your son back for us, Lord God, while we were lost, while we were in despair, Lord God. You brought back joy. You brought back peace unto us. Lord God, you brought back your salvation, Lord God. Lord God, you brought a new and abundant way, Lord God. You passed that on to us, Lord God. And you made us able through your word to pass that on to other people, Lord God. Lord God, put it in our minds and our hearts, Lord God, not to forget, Lord God. You're not a selfish God, but you're an all-giving God, Lord God. You're an all-Shaddai, the first and born, Lord God. You give out, Lord God, with no reservations, Lord God. You give out to those that hate you. You give out to those that despise you. Lord God, you cause the sun to rise upon them, Lord God, that curse your name. But Lord God, you have extra special blessings for those that love you. And Lord God, we love you, Lord God. Let that example that you gave forth, Lord God, be in our hearts, Lord God, that we don't forget others, Lord God, those that we pass by every day, Lord God, that the power of God, Lord God, that rests in us, Lord God, might be manifest to a lost and dying world. That is our great commission, Lord God. Remind us, Lord God, because we get caught up in our own selves. We get caught up in our own situation. But Lord God, you're the master of every situation, of every circumstance. And we look to you, Lord God, for that strength, Lord God. When we forget, Lord God, you will touch us in our hearts and our minds not to forget, Lord God, because you did not forget us. And we give you the praise because we have all things, Lord God, with you. We have all things for this life, Lord God, spiritually, physically, materially, domestically, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' wonderful name.
Hallelujah! Glory! Glory, Jesus!
Manda hagamo kushi abasa ye mo si sata da tikichi shomo si ando kamara baba si sete yo mo kono mo ki kamara baba si shomo mo 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 si sama.
For I did not come unto you in man's way, but I came unto you the authority of my Father. And yea, I didn't bring you sadness, but I brought you joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And yea, I came forth with my life to show you that when I lay it down, you lay down. And when I rise up, you can rise up.
Oh, yes, Lord.
For I am the one that came. I'm the one that walked among you. I'm the one that showed you the instruction and taught you the instruction. I am the one that lived by him. Did I not say in my word, if you hold fast to these sins of mine, that you shall have life and have it more abundantly? But yea, I finished the course, so shall ye finish the course. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And yea, if you hold on to my unchanging hand, yea, like I held on to the Father, you shall make it all the way home. And you shall not go to the edge of it, but you shall cross over into eternity with me, said God.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to your name, Jesus! Oh my God. Do we not serve an awesome God? Do we not serve an awesome God? I need to hear you. Do we not serve an awesome God? Let's just shout out. Thank you, Jesus. I can't hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Lord, we will not have the rocks cry out for a praise for us. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. Not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally. We are healed. Financially, we are healed. By your stripes, Lord, we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name. Hallelujah.